Hello, debaters, and welcome to the Topic Talk.
Season's greetings, friends. Welcome to the One Clap Speech and Debate Podcast, your podcast home base for coaching, learning, and inspirational resources for speech and debate competitors and coaches. I'm your host, Lyle Wiley, a high school English teacher and speech and debate coach in Thermopolis, Wyoming. And yeah, it's been a long time no see, or I guess no hear in this case. I definitely needed just a little bit of time off after Camp One Clap and the beginning of the school year, and of course, the beginning of the speech and debate season. Plus, guess what? I actually finished my master's degree, so I'm pretty excited about that too. But today, I'm going to be starting to release some really great content from Adrian Graham on the podcast. Adrian's been creating some really awesome videos, the debate videos on YouTube, since Camp One Clap started. He did a long series on the ABCs of debate, and he's released two videos about the current policy topic under the name of Professor Graham and sometimes Kevin. I'll link to his YouTube channel in the show notes and on the website, and you should totally check out those videos if you hadn't had a chance yet. Here's a little bio for Adrian. Adrian Graham is a junior at the University of Wyoming, where he's majoring in history. He is also a speech and debate coach at Laramie High School. When he was in high school, Adrian attended Cheyenne East, where he competed in policy debate, winning many speaker awards and tournament championships, including the state championship. Also, here's a much more entertaining bio for Adrian, compliments of ChatGPT. Adrian Graham, a macabre figure in the realm of debates, moves like a silent wraith through the discourse. Cloaked in the darkness of his own madness, he feasts upon the souls of debaters, draining the vitality from spirited exchanges. The air becomes thick with lingering despair of broken arguments, and the tortured echoes of intellectual annihilation resonate in the void he leaves behind, a relentless reminder of the abyss that awaits those who dare to engage with the sinister depths of his discourse. Spooky. Anyway, here is the current policy topic. Resolved. The United States federal government should substantially increase fiscal redistribution in the United States by adopting a federal jobs guarantee, expanding Social Security, and/or providing a basic income. Today, Adrian is sharing his Topic Talk episode that focuses on the federal jobs guarantee portion of the current policy debate topic. Let's go ahead and jump right in.
Hello, debaters, and welcome to the Topic Talk. On this episode, we'll be talking about the 2023 to 2024 policy debate topic of fiscal redistribution. The focus today will be on the federal jobs guarantee portion of the topic and what it entails, both for the affirmative and the negative teams. So let's jump into it. First, let's talk about the affirmative. In this section, we'll be covering what these asks look like, what is their likely advantage ground, what their strengths and weaknesses are, and some basic research and concepts that you should know when running one of these kinds of asks. I think that there are two categories of jobs guarantees affirmatives. There is a universal guarantee, and then there's specific sector asks. A universal guarantee, or at least that's what I've coined them, are proposals that have been made by places like the Center for American Progress and the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. These proposals would affect the entire economy, with the goal of providing all Americans who want a job at least the opportunity to get one. Unless your name is Kevin specifically, then you don't get a job. The end result of these policies is creating a de facto minimum wage, usually centered around the $15 an hour mark. That would give every single person a job. The other category of this affirmative falls under what I would call sector affirmatives. Among the largest of these is the Green New Deal, a proposal brought forth by Senators Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York and Edward Markey from Massachusetts. And right you are, my furry little friend. The Green New Deal does have a lot of moving parts. Most provisions of the bill have to deal with green energy investments, reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and even going as far as securing national health care to deal with the impacts of all kinds of pollution. However, the largest portion of the bill by far is focused on a federal jobs guarantee that would enable what people call the just transition. The bill would allow large swaths of the economy to have a transition period from environmentally destructive to environmentally friendly by providing retraining for energy technicians, guaranteed labor for green construction, and things like public cleanup initiatives to mitigate the impact of pollution and litter. This is by far the largest AFF on the topic. It has a gargantuan literature base and some obscenely high quality cards on both sides. However, as we all know, something being the biggest AFF on the topic isn't always great because you definitely link into a lot of the negatives arguments. So let's take a look at some of these alternatives. Still just looking at the Green New Deal, even this proposal has tons of little subsections because everyone, myself included, treats each of these AFFs like our bias of a K-pop band. There's a Green New Deal for health. There's a Green New Deal for transportation. There's a Green New Deal for just this guy who doesn't even have a job because he sucks. Seriously, everyone and their mother is looking to get on this Green New Deal action. I think these affirmatives are going to be some of the stronger ones because they're more limited in scope for what they do, focusing on either just healthcare or the transportation sector, respectively, without all the political baggage that comes with a larger Green New Deal. But they'll also get to maintain all the awesome arguments that the larger version of the bill does include, like amazing Fed key warrants. Beyond the Green New Deal, some sector AFFs just exist on their own. Want to do an AFF solely about infrastructure? Bam, here's a solvency advocate. Want to guarantee jobs for those involved in child care, or teachers, elder care workers, food distributors? Bam, why do you need a solvency advocate? You're just a silly little two-way. Who is going to stop you? Seriously, though, the possibilities here are endless. If you have a scenario or a group of people whom you think would make a good AFF to write about, literally go feral. Now, onto some common advantage ground. Most of these affirmatives, as you'll start to realize about the entirety of the topic, tend to lean themselves to following a pretty standard set of advantages. Some of the more universal jobs guarantee affirmatives will likely have big old econ scenarios. These will mostly be bolstered by internal links, like the economic stimulation sparked from drastically increasing the wage floor, or by creating an economic safety net as the jobs guarantee program grows and shrinks inside with demand for occupation. This will absolutely manifest itself in inequality / war terminal impact scenarios. There's also a decently high chance that they'll be solving for things like the environment or climate, whether it's directly through expansion of the Green New Deal job opportunities or horrendously awful warrants like how reducing income inequality somehow solves for climate change. But all the cards that you find have the world's most nebulous explanation of how, and they're garbage. The last mega obvious advantage here for me is democracy. Every AFF on the topic is bound to have some goofy little card that says part of the reason for America's current distrust in government could be solved by just throwing money into the American people's faces. It's so simple, so effective, and frankly, pretty true, to the point where I think that almost every single AFF could just have a throwaway two-card democracy scenario or contention, just being like, we solve democracy, democracy is good / populism is bad, boom, here's our terminal impact. Now, onto the less obvious stuff. Be on the lookout for competitiveness / innovation advantages. I think it's very likely that these affirmatives will make infrastructure / tech development spillover arguments, that developments in things like renewables solve military preparedness, either by making new tech or preventing escalation from climate infrastructure-related risks that could increase geopolitical tensions. Outside of these major scenarios, I just say keep on your toes. Since they could pick virtually any sector of the US economy and just make jobs appear in that sector with the help of infrastructure, tech development, childcare for workers, retraining for new positions, whatever, I would just be mortified knowing that any moment your opponents could have a healthcare AFF in one round and a transportation AFF in the next, but they only changed one word of the plan text and one of the advantages. This is because two-ways are horrible people who love watching the world burn. Now, onto the good stuff. Why should you run a federal jobs guarantee affirmative versus the other two sectors of the topic? My answer is simple. The state's counterplan. I'm sure we'll talk about it in a future video, but in case you haven't pieced it together by now, the topic has two parts. Steal money, give money. Now, I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, the states have been stealing money and giving away money for a really long time now. So if I'm AFF, I'm mortified for my life every time my opponents say that the 50 state governments and relevant territories of the United States can do anything. The 50 state governments and relevant territories of the United States could go bowling. They could enjoy a nice vacation on the beach. They could even do the plan. But luckily, I think despite only having some pretty garbage responses to the state's counterplan, I'd rather have something over nothing. These solvency deficits include the likes of states not having enough funding, watering down the policies, not being able to manage a countercyclical budget, interstate competition, and localized knowledge all being a bad thing. I think I mostly agree with you, Kevin. Funding and watering down policies are mostly not even responsive to the state's counterplan, but I do think that those arguments, combined with the localized knowledge bad and competition deficits, you force the negative to pick a direction. If they fiat uniform implementation where all states act on their own but it's the same policy, then when states acting on their own causes interstate competition as they try to attract workers to their workforce, leaving neighboring states economically devastated. If they then try to say that they fiat uniform action where all the states act together and cooperate about what states need what jobs all the time, then either you just beat them on the permutation debate or deck them on theory because they have taken the 50-state fiat a little bit too far. Some other strengths of these affirmatives, as I mentioned, is just the enormous literature base. There's so many articles on so many of these proposals that it'll be difficult even picking an AF to start doing research on. That all being said, some of the drawbacks will be significant. First and foremost, as much as you should appreciate the large literature base, you should also be mortified of it. The amount of potential random DAs is virtually limitless because it just takes one rando online saying that a federal jobs guarantee would deck U.S. oil exports to make a kick-butt DA. Unfortunately for you, however, there isn't just one rando online saying that. Everybody's going to be saying that. To prepare yourselves. The other, and I think far more dangerous part of these affirmatives is that they are so incredibly nebulous in their actual implementation. Let's play a game. What's a federal jobs guarantee? Go ahead. Think about it for a minute. I'll be back to check on you in just a few seconds. Are you done yet? Great. You probably said everyone is guaranteed a job, so anyone who wants one will get one. Great answer. Let me throw a couple of wrenches in there to ruin your day. What if somebody needs to be fired because they're actively being disruptive, or they're not participating because they just want to receive their government check? How does the AF handle ex-felons? Do they get a job? Does your AF make a new federal agency to help people find jobs? How do states decide what jobs they need to fill in holes for? What if there's literally not any jobs available for people to work in? Do they just work fake jobs? Do you ship them to other places in the country to find work? Do people find a federal job for the rest of their life? Are undocumented immigrants able to work in the program? Chocolate or vanilla ice cream? Does your AF provide training? And that's just the tip of the iceberg, which leads us into the scariest thing of all, the negative's ambiguity slash vagueness solvency deficit. There are so many moving parts of these affirmatives, and if you don't have answers to literally every single question that is thrown your way, you are doomed. Now, there is one solution to this problem, and I'm a pretty big fan. Some people like to call it topic research, but I like to call it obsessively reading anything ever produced by the country's leading expert on the federal jobs guarantee. This is Pavlina Cherneva, the architect behind a lot of the federal jobs guarantee proposals. In her paper, Job Guarantee, Design, Jobs, and Implementation, she discusses a litany of important issues regarding how to both understand the full scope of these proposals, as well as answering those nightmarishly complicated questions that we just talked about. Her work is, unsurprisingly, used as a framework for the Green New Deal and most of the implementation questions behind how a jobs guarantee would work. If you're going to read one of these affirmatives, you probably need answers to all the questions I proffered before and a ton of background info, and there's no better place to find that than her conveniently titled Federal Jobs Guarantee FAQ. I think that just about covers it for my nonsensical ramblings about the affirmative, so let's talk about the neg. In this section, we'll be talking about some of the stronger case arguments as well as powerful off-case positions that might help you navigate the myriad of tools that these affirmatives have at their disposal. First, the on case. As I mentioned in the affirmative section, the world is your oyster when it comes to case defense. It's very likely that you'll be able to find some major solvency deficits that the affirmative just can't overcome. If their AF is all about racial income inequality, but they can't win that the program offers opportunities for ex-felons, then perhaps they don't solve racial inequality because almost 40% of federal prisoners are black because this country is racist. That's just one example of a simple case argument that totally decimates any AF claim to solvency. Do they claim to solve tech innovation? How are you going to guarantee the federal government decides those jobs are more important than things like infrastructure? What if there aren't enough people who even want to work? These might seem like really basic case arguments that the affirmative would want to just blow over, but I assure you, you can blow each and every one of these up in the block to be absolute monsters. Even just making one of these arguments and then saying the implementation is so difficult that it decks their solvency is probably a really good case mitigator on its own. The literature reflects it because nobody knows what a federal jobs guarantee entails. This might seem like a simple one, but like, inflation? If you raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour, what's stopping greedy little Bezos from just saying that milk costs $5 instead of $4 now? There's so much evidence on this question of how this type of economic stimulation would just cause rampant inflation because it's ridiculous. I will say, though, this is probably a substantially better argument against a UBI than a federal jobs guarantee, just because the jobs guarantee affirmatives will have quirkier mechanisms for causing economic growth, and it's not universal, but it's still a case argument nonetheless. The last piece is a likely on-case arguments. Economy turns. If affirmatives have an economy contention, prepare to make them look like fools. The negative has a litany of tools here. You have ginormous federal spending leaks to economic collapse, dadoy. You have sick job displacement arguments because the job guarantee would crowd out the private sector by providing higher wages. You've got arguments that work in combination with the case defense that the people who work might just be doing busy work, creating jobs out of thin air and not contributing to the larger economy. Even the inflation argument from before is a good warrant as to why they'd make total economic collapse more likely than not. Now we move on to the big guns. I think that the unique DA ground here is where the topic gets so much more fun. So let's move into talking about the coolest DA ground ever. First on my list, and probably my favorite DA against these AFs, the high-skilled worker DA. There are some pretty good cards that talk about how a federal jobs guarantee would cause a massive trade-off in the area of high-skilled workers, because there's no longer as much of an incentive for people to seek higher education. If the public option for labor is always a livable wage, why do you need to go to school? Furthermore, after the jobs guarantee starts crowding out startups and smaller innovation firms, it's likely that those businesses won't be able to sustain themselves because finding work is next to impossible, causing the whole company to collapse. This has decent inroads to innovation scenarios, and realistically, any high-skilled job the literature supports, including people like doctors. For my money, I think this is a killer argument. There's also similarly worse labor trade-off DA scenarios. I think this is a decent idea, but usually these DAs don't pan out the way you want them to. For example, I think that comparatively, the high-skilled worker DA is just narratively better than the military recruitment DA. The first DA is like, when people have more economic mobility, they don't feel pressured to pursue education, but higher education is good. That's a lighthearted, feels-good DA that encourages you all to stay in school. The recruitment DA is like, when people have more economic mobility, the U.S. starts to lack in the sending impressionable young people off to war department, and we just need more bodies to throw into pointless forever wars to maintain U.S. imperialism. And I'll be the first one to say it. I would hate to be the negative having to defend that, because it's a little bit evil, but also just bad. Like, military recruitment is the worst internal link to military preparedness when we're entering an age of killer death robots that act autonomously, and most wars will be fought with Avenger-style helicarriers instead of troops on the ground. Despite being weird arguments in general, some of these DAs are going to struggle, or they're just going to have their niches be fulfilled in much better ways. As I mentioned before when talking about affirmatives on the topic, it seems very likely to me that these AFs are going to be no mercy with cheating and be little baby sector AFs. So being able to predict what labor trade-off scenarios are good versus bad is going to be quite the challenge. Want a DA based off of workers leaving one area for the transportation sector? great. I don't know what that looks like or who's even losing their jobs, especially when most of the people who'll be fulfilling the jobs guarantee will be working low-skilled, little training-required occupations anyways. Beyond just the question of what is the scenario, there's just better scenarios. If the AFT is like the Green New Deal, if you say that the AFT takes away all the workers from the coal-slash-natural gas sectors, and that the labor trade-off destroys the industry, A, the AFT agrees with you, that's what they want, and B, that's just a worse econ DA. So why are you making such a weird internal link chain to be like, the AFT blows up the coal industry? Like, of course they do. They're a Green New Deal AFT, bro. Come on. Coming up with these types of interesting industry DAs is going to be awesome, but you also have to hit the right AFTs to be able to make them work. So find out what scenarios you think are going to be likely and get to work. Counterplans. States is always the option. States is the truth. It's evil, but sometimes the best things in life are forbidden. So go forth, claim your victories, let nobody stand in your path. Topicality. Topicality is weird. A federal jobs guarantee is a federal jobs guarantee. Pretty simple. The government provide job. Also simple. But that being said, the resolution does not include things that a lot of these proposals would be talking about. For example, is it normal means to create a new agency to oversee the entirety of this enormous bureaucratic behemoth? Probably. But is it normal means to do healthcare for all? Maybe? Does normal means include retraining and relocating workers? Probably not. Is normal means the entirety of the Green New Deal? Absolutely not. But it is a novice topic area, which is weird. So why did they greenlight this nonsense? I think there's so many little nuanced conversations that the literature can't even decide what a federal jobs guarantee includes. Most interpretations would probably argue it's a comprehensive package including a lot of those things. Maybe federal jobs guarantee is a term of art that includes a litany of potential inclusions, but I'll be the first to say it. I'm skeptical that a lot of those articles are exactly what the resolution calls for, a federal jobs guarantee, not a comprehensive social safety net job overhaul thing. Critiques. K-Ground is probably fairly standard against these AFTs. There's definitely some job guarantee-specific links for capitalism, and especially racial cap. The palliatives link, that the affirmative just sustains capitalism for longer by satiating people's desire for change, is usually pretty good, and the AFT probably does bite the link. But even the mighty cap K might be in trouble with degrowth versions of the affirmative, which argue that economic compression is a good thing and allows for there to be a transition away from a production-focused society. Even the AFT probably agrees to the fact that some jobs are just there to help people get out of poverty, starting the job creation process at the people rather than the product. The disability literature also has some pretty decent cards on both sides. Like this card on the permutation for the affirmative is just sick. So you do you. The permutation cards for things like feminism are also really fire. So if you're a K-team, you're gonna need to seriously pull out all the stops when it comes to the links our DAs to the perm debate, because the literature here is just so good all around. The AFT has some fairly cliche responses to these scenarios, but the literature and the cards that will be backing them up this topic just might be enough to push them over the edge. And that's what I've got to say about federal jobs guarantee AFTs. Basically, it's like somebody wants a job, and then you give it to them. It's still super early in the season. Opinions may change, arguments may become refined, fire cards will be discovered, but the only thing that will stay the same is this video. So if you have any questions or things that you want to discuss, leave a comment or shoot me an email. I'm happy to talk about these things forever, and I'm sure that I've either missed something very important or some major developments will happen in the future. But before I go, got anything to say, Kevin? I don't know, Kevin. Can you?
Many thanks to Adrian for sharing his content with One Clap and spending so much time working to make cool debate resources for our speech and debate community. Be sure to check out his YouTube channel, which we'll link to in the show notes. If you'd like to join the discussion here at One Clap Speech and Debate, shoot me an email at lylewiley@gmail.com or reach out on the One Clap Speech and Debate podcast website or social media, also linked in the show notes. And this year you could consider supporting One Clap Speech and Debate by checking out our Patreon page. You can partner with me on this journey for as little as $1 a month and stop patronage anytime. It does cost a little bit of money to run this podcast, and anything you can do to help out is super appreciated. Special thanks to our patrons, Terry, Tina, Brenda, Aaron T., Melissa, Marcus, Laura, Londi, Ashley S., Joel, Matt, Alan, Ashley M., Arone, Izzy, and Rick. Thank you all so much for your support. And thank you for listening to One Clap Speech and Debate. Remember, your voice matters, and we'll catch you next time.